Thank you for joining us for All Things Real Estate. Now here are your hosts, Brad Avergon and Gary Kelly.
Hi, this is Gary Kelly with All Things Real Estate. I am also associated with Castanetti Realty Group out of Shrewsbury. And I'm joined today, as always, by the debonair,
Brad Avergon with Fairway Independent Mortgage. How are you, Gary?
I'm great. How are you, Brad?
Doing great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. The holidays are over and it's back to work.
That's it. That's it. 2024. Here we come.
So today, Brad, I wanted to talk about something I get asked about fairly regularly by typically by first-time buyers, sometimes by experienced investors, and that's about buying a foreclosure. Sue and I recently helped a friend buy a foreclosure, and the foreclosure was in Ocam, which you kind of drive from our area out to Worcester, you make a right, and then you keep driving. But it's a nice home. And I'm going to use some generalities on foreclosures, and I'm not trying to be disparaging to any foreclosure or anybody that's in the situation of being foreclosed. But one of the things I find with them is that they're often in what I'm going to call distressed shape, distressed condition. I have personal experience with someone that was being foreclosed on not paying her mortgage. And she said, I'm going to get foreclosed. I'm going to lose the house anyway. So she started to rip the cabinets off the walls and sell them and sell the appliances and stuff. Because in her view, she was going to be dinged for them anyway. So why not get some degree of cash flow from them? Now, I share that not because that was what she did, but more from the standpoint that you end up with a house that has no cabinets, it has holes in the walls and all. And I find that to be kind of typical when it comes to a foreclosure.
Yeah, you know, I think that with a foreclosure, clearly something went wrong with the plan, right? They had a plan when they bought the house. They didn't have the plan, hey, let's buy the house and go into foreclosure. Because foreclosures, there are a number of things that are happening. First of all, when somebody gets foreclosed upon, it precludes them from buying another property for 7 years, you know, using regular guidelines, mortgage guidelines. So, you know, that's not something that somebody takes lightly. The second thing is, when they bought the home, typically they put some sort of down payment down. They put some sort of equity into the property, and hopefully they got some sort of appreciation. Typically, what happens, though, is that something went wrong, either income-wise, you know, they maybe lost their jobs, or something happened that was, I'm going to call it cataclysmic. And it just derailed the whole plan. And so they find themselves, you know, scrambling to stay in the property as long as they can because they need a place to live.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes they'll, you know, if the smartest thing they could do would be contact a realtor and see if they can, you know, number one, sell it and recoup any equity if they can. The second smartest thing would be to contact the lender and see if they can sell it as a short sale, which still involves a realtor.
Whoa, 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 a lot
of times what happens,
Brad,
huh?
Help define a short sale for our viewers and listeners.
I'm sorry. Am I speaking in banker's jargon?
Yeah, so all of a sudden your propeller came out. It was spinning up there.
So a short sale is where the current owner wants to sell a property, but they owe more than the property's worth. And so what they do is they approach the lender and say, look it, we've had a cataclysmic event, maybe death in the family, sickness, job loss, whatever the case may be, and we can't afford this house. But rather than just stop paying you, we want to work with you. Will you allow us to sell this house for less than we owe on the property. And by the way, here's our financial statements documenting that we're not just talking and saying this. We can document that these bad things happened. And the bank will try to work with you because they don't want to go through a foreclosure. And I'll explain that in a minute why. But they would much rather work with you, try to work on the short sale with you, and get the property sold. And at that point, once they say yes, we'll work with you, the seller can approach a realtor like yourself and Sue and say, we'd like to list this property. It will be a short sale, but you know, we'll make the house as beautiful as we can. We'll keep it as beautiful as we can. We'll keep it in good shape so that the house can sell, right? It's attractive. It's an attractive home. What happens in foreclosures oftentimes is the seller will kind of have this cataclysmic event and bury their head in the sand and say, let's stop paying the mortgage, because that's what happens. They stop paying the mortgage payment, and maybe sometimes it's by necessity. So they have to have medical bills or whatever the case may be. And the bank begins a process. Usually they'll reach out to the seller. It's nothing that catches the seller by surprise. They'll reach out to the sellers numerous times and try to say, hey, what's going on? What, we noticed you haven't paid us in 30, 60, 90 days. But after 90 days, they understand that there's something major. And they'll start a process, a legal process of using the mortgage to claim the property and basically foreclose on it, take control and ownership of that property. So it can be resold to somebody else. And there's
where in that process does it pop onto Zillow as a pre-foreclosure?
Usually, I think the process is when they're going. That's a great question, Gary. I don't know the exact answer on that as a pre-foreclosure, but I would imagine when the bank initially puts someone of the legal notices out. So
That's exactly right.
So, as I mentioned, it doesn't happen immediately. So if you're 30, I don't want the viewers to get scared. If I'm 30 days late on my mortgage, the bank's going to start the foreclosure. They're going to put the notice in the paper. That's not what happens. That's not what banks want to do. They'll give them 30. They may call them at 30 days on the if they don't receive the payment in 45, let's say, they'll call them on the phone and say, hey, what's going on? If they don't get a payment in 60 days, they're definitely on the phone reaching out, sending. They may even send registered mail. 90 days for sure. 90 days for sure. They are in touch with that seller saying, hey, we want to work with you, but you got to tell us what's going on. But if the seller doesn't respond to any of those gestures, the bank begins a legal process where they must put notifications in public domain. So things like newspaper announcements, different things. They must notify the seller, like with registered mail. There's timelines. They don't foreclosure doesn't happen overnight. And so they notify them, and then it can be listed as agencies will pick up on that and say, you know, pre-foreclosure.
And then what happens is we've got people that come to us and say, hey, can we see this house? And we go knocking on the door. And my experience is a large portion of the time, the people that are living in that house are angry at this point. They don't want to have, hey, I'm here to sell your house, because that was not their plan. That's not what they necessarily want to do. So they're somewhere between humiliated, embarrassed, and all that. And they're not very receptive when someone comes and says, let me into the house.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned, I keep using the term cataclysmic. That's often what it feels like to them. A job loss, a sickness, a death. So having someone knock on your door and say, hey, I want to buy your house. They've got bigger issues on the table that they're trying to confront, and way bigger issues. And so I can only imagine that it's not met with a welcoming reception, so to speak.
Right.
And so that's why, in the case of foreclosure, you kind of have to, there's a lot of things that are changing, for them and for sometimes the property. If they don't have the funds to pay the mortgage, one can only imagine they don't have the funds to maintain the property. And there's all sorts of things. Utilities could be shut off. All sorts of things could happen.
That's exactly right. And I touched on it earlier when my friend was pulling cabinets off and selling them on Facebook Marketplace. People get angry at the building. And, frankly, the building did nothing wrong. someone had a situation that got out of their grasp, and it's not the building's fault, but you'll see people punch holes in walls. You see people take a hammer and put a hole between every stud on a wall, and they're trying to make it miserable for the next buyer. Perhaps so miserable that no one will come buy the house.
Well, not only that, Gary, but there's an additional thing, which is a lot of times those people that are going into foreclosure, they're grasping at whatever financial straws they can. And what a lot of viewers and listeners may not know is that inside those walls, there's gold, right? There is not technically gold, but there's copper. And right. Copper is very, very valuable. So especially on the older homes that they did, now they use a lot of PVC in plumbing. But in the old days, they used copper piping. There's copper in wiring. And so they could take that and sell it for the scrap. If they rip it out of the walls and sell it for scrap, they can get some money. It may not be a lot, but it's some money. And sometimes they're desperate and they will do that.
Yeah, no question about it. I see, people... trying to make the house less desirable for someone to buy it. And the truth is, often you get a contractor that'll come in and, holes in walls, they don't care. They can go grab some joint compound and throw it up, and those holes kind of go away pretty quickly. The foreclosure that we had in Oakham had some of that. You could see that there were some notes that were written to the next buyer, stay away from our property kind of stuff written into the walls. But the systems of the house, plumbing, heating, all that stuff still worked, which was, I'm going to say surprising at one level, but good at another level, because it was less that our buyers had to do to kind of get the house back up and running again, so to speak.
Gary, on that particular home, did the buyers, were they able to obtain conventional financing, or did they have to take either, or were they contractors and were going to pay cash for the property, or did they take some sort of renovation loan?
So their intent going into it was to do a traditional conventional mortgage. And when the appraiser went through the house, the appraiser picked up on or noticed certain things that just needed to be fixed. Now the buyers knew that, they acknowledged that, they were ready to do that, but at the same time they weren't going to do that first thing. So they ended up switching to a renovation loan, and they got the money to take care of that. But let me continue with that thought in the second half, Brad.
Sounds good, Gary. See you on the flip side.
Stay tuned. More All Things Real Estate coming right up.